Welcome to the Link to Prevention podcast, hosted by the CASARC Prevention Team.
On today's episode, the Prevention Team will be talking about online spaces and technology. We'll specifically outline the lessons we teach in middle school classrooms about this topic.
Hey, everybody. We are here today with Jessica and Hannah, and today we are talking about online spaces for middle school students. Hannah and Jessica are often having these discussions with middle school students about online safety, and we thought today would be a nice time to let parents see behind that curtain and hear about some of the conversations we're having and how we have those conversations. So, Jessica and Hannah, online safety. I know this is an area that changes really fast. And, you know, I've been talking about online safety for years and years, and yet that conversation changes all the time. And I know the two of you do a really good job at engaging students in conversations around technology and then incorporating their thoughts and ideas and questions into your lessons. So I'm hoping you can share that with our audience today. So maybe we can start off by answering the question, why? Why do we talk about online safety? I mean, we've been talking about it for years. Why do we continue to talk about it?
Totally agree. I mean, so much of our lives are online now, and so much of the students who we work with, of their lives are online, that these conversations just make a lot of sense related to the topics that we talk about, which we're going to talk about more in just a minute. But we just find it to be really important, extremely relevant to the topics like boundaries and consent and relationships and communication. I mean, it is a skill to learn how to communicate with people, and it is a separate skill to learn how to communicate with them online, because that's a totally different world, right? So these are, yeah, really relevant, really important things that we're talking to students about.
I feel like adults are always playing catch up. We're always the ones who are late to the table, trying to understand the technology that our students, our kiddos are using. So it is smart for us to talk directly to teens about this, because I need to learn from them about how they're navigating this environment. So I'm curious, the two of you, how do we talk about it with middle school students?
We're going into our third school year in the Renton School District. So we have learned a lot from these students about what is popular right now, what apps people are using, what social media platforms like Facebook has been out for a long time. Nobody is on Facebook anymore, right? But that was really popular when I was in high school. So currently, we try really hard to stay on top of things as best we can and then adjust our curriculum accordingly. So one of the first main topics that we talk about in sixth, seventh and eighth grade. We talk the most about it in sixth grade and then kind of review it and touch on it more so in seventh and eighth grade as it relates to relationships. In sixth grade, we start talking about online boundaries. A lot of our lessons, the topics that we talk about, we also make sure to talk about how they relate to online spaces. So boundaries is a main topic of ours. I will say, before kind of diving too far into it, we never talk about online spaces and the use of technology as a bad thing. We don't frame it as a scary place or a horrible, dangerous thing. We talk about the fact that there are things students like about being online, because there are, right? There are things that we as adults like about being online. So we have an entire conversation with sixth graders about, what do you like? Like, what do you like about the online spaces that you're on? What don't you like? What are some things that make it hard to be online? And from there, we talk about boundaries and the importance of having boundaries in those spaces, especially because you as a person are accessible through technology, through your devices all the time. And I know for me, at least, that is exhausting. And I always like to share that with students, that like, I don't have to be accessible to my friends all of the time if I don't want to be. I don't need to respond to text messages immediately. And I can have do not disturb on. I am allowed to not have my phone in the room with me, in my room with me at night. Yeah, there was a lot of disgust, I think is a good word for the response to that one. So we, Jessica and I, do our best to share our own boundaries around our devices, around our phones, being online, just to share and model that it's really important to have those boundaries. And we talk about what some of the possible boundaries are that these students could have online. Again, keeping track of how much time you're spending on certain apps or on your phone, and just encouraging the use of boundaries. And reminding students that they don't have to be accessible all of the time. That also relates to using consent online. So not only your own self boundaries, but also respecting the boundaries and respecting the needs of other people in online spaces as well. So we talk about consent online in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And a lot of that conversation centers around asking people if they're okay before you post something of them online, right? Like before posting a picture of your friend, ask if they're comfortable with that photo, or is it embarrassing or a bad picture? Just basic kind of permission things that we talk about when we talk about consent in general, but making sure to also translate that to the way that we are communicating online and making sure that we're respecting other people's boundaries and other people's decisions with how we are using technology and our devices.
I know these are topics that we also cover, like you said, in the real world as well. So also online as equally as important. This idea of the influencer, the idea of people following others. And you talk a little bit about something called a parasocial relationship. For those of people who may not know what a parasocial relationship is, or may not have heard that expression used before, can one of you talk about what parasocial relationships are, why you talk about them, and how it relates to influencers?
Yeah, so a parasocial relationship is essentially a one-sided relationship that forms between an influencer or a celebrity and their followers or the people that are fans of them. It is one-sided because there is an imbalance of power. One person always has more power than the other. And it's also one-sided because one person knows everything about the other person and that person doesn't know anything about the other person involved. Because that is the kind of the center of these influencer relationships, is that they share so much of themselves online, and the interaction that is available to their followers is something that is new. Like a parasocial relationship is always something that has technically been around. Like people have always been fans of celebrities, of other people. You used to watch your daytime shows at home, right? Like Oprah and Ellen and all of these people that you would invite into your home, and you probably felt like you knew them a bit, but your accessibility to them is not the same as it is with these online influencers now. The ability to directly interact with each other while still not really knowing each other is something that is completely new to young people and to these influencers. And so these parasocial relationships are extremely likely to occur. And we talk to students about these kind of online parasocial relationships because it does relate to power. And when we talk about power, we talk about how there are instances where you may do something for somebody who is in a position of power, not necessarily because you want to, but because you might feel that you have to. Either you can't say no, or you want the attention from this person that has a lot of power, so you will do the things that they say. And that directly correlates to these influencers and that parasocial relationship that forms. And we talk a lot about how it may feel like a friendship, but it's not a friendship. And that is because of that imbalance of power. And also because you can't have a friendship with one person knowing everything about someone and the other person not knowing them at all. That's not a real friendship. It's something that is existed for a long time, but is becoming a bigger thing now.
I heard one of the students say, well, an influencer is somebody who influences you to do something. Right. And I think in their mind, they were thinking of like buying something or believing in something or trying something. But it's using that power to influence someone else. Media literacy and online spaces. How does that tie together? And how do you all talk about that around healthy relationships?
Yeah, so we end our lessons usually talking about media literacy, specifically with sixth and seventh graders, because we do a fun activity where we watch some clips from recent popular movies or TV shows that might be ones that they've seen. And we ask them to, instead of just watch for entertainment, but like watch to analyze it. So we incorporate media literacy because we are all taking in so much media all of the time. And it's really important for us to be able to learn how to critically think about that media that we're taking in, think about how it impacts how we feel during the day, how it impacts the way that we think about things, and especially how it impacts our relationships. And that is absolutely something that students have been able to notice and recognize, that like, if there is a couple on TikTok who I think are really cool and amazing and perfect and love each other so much, maybe I'm going to try to make my relationship just like theirs because it looks so perfect online. And Jessica and I get into that and talk to them about the fact that, well, what you see online is only a portion of what that person's life is actually like, or what that relationship is actually like. So it can be really tricky and really, you know, depending on the situation, dangerous in some senses to model your entire life after what you're seeing on social media, in movies or videos, or in any of the media that you're taking in. So we really encourage students to think a little bit more and think critically about that media, think about how it is impacting the way they feel, think, and behave and treat other people.
Well, that's certainly a lot of ground that you cover in these conversations. Is there anything else that you try to talk about, engage these students in conversation about, that we haven't talked about yet?
In middle school, we mainly focus on that depictions of a minor law, which we talked about in one of our previous podcasts. That is kind of a topic that we introduce starting in eighth grade. And that is based off of feedback from teachers, from schools, from students themselves, letting us know that this was an issue that is starting in middle school. And so we felt that it was important to kind of introduce this topic of sexting in eighth grade. And again, kind of like we mentioned in the depictions episode, we don't talk about it in a way of shaming behavior or judging students, but as a way of, again, including these consent conversations in online spaces as much as we are in real life. And that's kind of like the intro to that in eighth grade. And we talk a lot about how you don't have consent to take pictures of people in a bathroom or in a locker room and then share those images, whether or not you think you're trying to be funny or you're doing it to bully or harass somebody and it's not sexually motivated. That is a lot of what we're seeing in middle school specifically. And so that is kind of the way that we talk about that topic in middle school. It's less, it is partially in relation to being in relationships with other people, but it's mainly in relation to consent in these spaces.
I guess another question I have for y'all is, we just talked about how this is ever changing. And the technology is always evolving. And we're always trying to keep up with it. So how do the students that you are standing in front of receive this information? The two of you are younger than I am. We are of different generations. But you are of a different generation than those middle school students. So when you're standing up there in front of the classroom talking about online safety and online spaces, how do these students receive this? I mean, do you feel like they're hearing you? Do they take this information seriously, or do they think you're a bunch of old fuddy-duddies who are still surfing Facebook?
I think framing it as online spaces can be helpful and harmful. There are things we like and things we don't like. Allows them to connect with us and not feel sort of defensive about their use of technology. So starting from there helps. And then also giving them the chance to sort of educate us helps too. So Jessica and I, of course, don't know what it's like to be a teenager or a pre-teenager with technology right now and phones and the access that they have. We know what it's like to be our own age. So as much as we can, we ask them questions, right? Like, we ask them to tell us what it has been like, what social media do they like to use. Sometimes they're not super willing to share, but I think they do like being able to be experts in something like this. And when they are vulnerable enough to share, there's usually a lot of sort of consensus among them about the things that they share. There's a lot of sort of support in the classroom for the things that they share, whether it be about social media, what's cool, what's not cool, and the boundaries too that they have, like that I don't keep my phone in my bedroom at night, caused a ruckus. So things like that, they can kind of connect over because they have a shared experience being the age that they are with the technology that they have.
Do the students you work with understand any of the risk in technology? They're swimming in this day in and day out. And my guess is that they have some ability to navigate these spaces safely.
Yeah, they definitely do. I mean, as we said at the top of this episode, a lot of times young people know these spaces and know this technology better than we do. And like, it's not that they don't understand how to block and report. That's almost always a response that we get when we talk about boundaries online, right? It's like, oh, well, you can block and report somebody if they're doing something that you don't like. So they do have a very good understanding of technology and how to generally keep themselves safe online because they've been doing it for so long. It's just kind of like those situations are things that they maybe don't think of as unsafe that might be putting them at risk for getting harmed, which is the things that we try to talk about. But in general, they have a very good understanding of technology.
Well, that sounds like a really great conversation to be having. What suggestions or advice would you give, or example questions might you have that parents could use when talking to their kids about technology, or even starting those conversations about technology? Do you have any sage advice about that?
I don't know how sage it'll be, but our typical kind of ask for parents at the end of a lot of our episodes is really similar. And today it's going to be pretty similar too, which is leading with curiosity and leading with non-judgment in these conversations as best you can. As I said, like, these students who don't even really know us very well, they are always happy to share with us. They really like teaching us things or telling us what's popular right now, telling us the sort of trendy, funny memes that are happening that we wouldn't know about because we're not a part of it. So being curious about like what is really popular on your feed right now? What's really popular in the social media apps that you use? That's a really great way to at least start a conversation from a place of not judging their usage of technology.
Yeah, and I think that non-judgmental piece is such an important part about being curious, because if you ask and you receive an answer, then you should expect that is something that you will receive an answer to, whether or not you like whatever it is that they share. There are so many things that these kids talk to us about in school that make absolutely no sense to me or Hannah, or seem silly or are kind of weird. Some of these trending things right now are just odd. I know that we had a conversation about Skibidi Toilet, Chris, and we are constantly giving him the inside scoop on all of these online trends that are happening. And if we came at that the first time that we heard that, being like, well, that's stupid, or that's dumb, or that's a waste of time spent on the internet, then those kids wouldn't share anything with us anymore. And so I think keeping that open mind, keeping that curiosity and non-judgmental curiosity is extremely important for parents, because the more that you engage with your kids, the more likely they are to talk to you about everything that they're experiencing online.
We're also going to share a couple of possible questions to start this conversation with your student, your child, in the notes at the bottom of this episode, but just a couple of ones for you all to get started. You can ask things like, what do you like to do online? What do you use technology for? What apps do you use? What is your favorite app, right? What's your favorite emoji? right? You can start there. So there are a lot of really sort of low stakes questions that will just open the conversation and help to build that trust with, with your kid.
Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks for another great conversation. And we'll see you next time.
Until next time, stay curious, be kind, and take care. To find out more about the services offered and to stay up to date on everything that Prevention is doing, check us out online at ksarc.org. That's ksarc.org. This podcast was funded in part by a grant awarded by the Department of Justice. Points of view in this podcast are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the Department of Justice. Grants funded are administered by the Office of Firearm Safety and Violence Prevention under the Public Safety Unit at the Washington State Department of Commerce.